Okay, we are on Yud Aleph Amud Beis, third to last skinny line. So we are in this discussion still of the tsaros. There were four tsaros that were brought up derech agav on Daf Gimel Amud Beis, and the Gemara now is going through all four of them. We're in the middle of the second one, and we're going to have the other two on Amud Aleph today, Yud Beis Amud Aleph, and then the Gemara is going to get off to other connections to the Mishnah on Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis. We're going to finish up our discussions of the tsaros, at least for now. So the Gemara first discussed on Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, we discussed tsaras sota. That was number one. Number two, we're in the middle of discussing now tsaras machzer grushaso, which means a co-wife of a machzer grushaso. Reuven retakes his wife that he wasn't allowed to retake, machzer grushaso, and then Reuven dies having other wives as well. So does the tsara, does the co-wife of the machzer grushaso, is she zakuka liyibam? So the Gemara assumes that the machzer grushaso was not. But what about the tsara of the machzer grushaso? So now we are up to trying to prove one way or the other. Tashma, three lines from the bottom. As we'll see from this line of the Gemara here, the Gemara, though earlier it was trying to prove and assuming that these tsaras don't have any connection, at this point the Gemara is trying to assume that maybe you would only do chalitza and you wouldn't do yibum. That's what we're trying to prove, that a tsara of a machzer grushaso at least doesn't do yibum, but only does chalitza, or not. So Tashma, says the Gemara, hamachzer grushaso misha niseis, hi vitsarasa choletzes. A machzer grushaso misha niseis, meaning after she married in between, so that he and her tsara must do chalitza. Asks the Gemara, hi vitsarasa sakadaitach, since when did both women have to do chalitza? One woman doing chalitza, potters the other woman. So ela ema, ohi otsarasa, so it must be she or her tsara. So doesn't that prove that the tsara of a machzer grushaso does not do yibum, only does chalitza? Rashi says, "V'lav tirutzi k'mataratz dola." So don't you have problems with the version of the text? So once you have to change it, so change it one step further. Taratz achi, so change it to the following. He choletzes, she, the machzer grushaso herself, must do chalitza. She's not allowed to do yibum. Tsarasa o choletzes o mesya bemes. And the tsara, no, can do either or. There's no raya from this brisa, because once you know there was a mistake in the brisa, maybe there's a full mistake, and there's no raya from that brisa. Period. So that's the end of that section. But now we continue about the machzer grushaso. Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Rabbi Yochanan boy. Rabbi Yochanan had the following question. Hamachzer grushaso mishanisei sarasa mahu. Somebody is machzer grushaso, what about her tsara? So isn't this the exact same question that we just had 15 lines ago? So the Ritva explains that the whole question that we had earlier was formulated as, does it say the word tuma by machzer grushaso or not? That was yesterday's discussion. The lashon of acharei asher hu tama'a, does it have that? Does it say that phrase by machzer grushaso or not? Now we're asking, even if you want to say, according to the Rabbanan, that it does not say that phrase. This is how the Ritva says we should understand the question. Yesterday we had the sheet of the Rabbanan who possibly held kivan de ne'ekra ne'ekra, that once the word tuma is uprooted from discussing machzer grushaso, meaning taking it out of the pshat, so that it doesn't refer to that. That's the question. Even according to those Rabbanan who hold kivan de ne'ekra ne'ekra, that there is no word tuma by machzer grushaso, shall we say that there is another reason why machzer grushaso should be usher to the yavam? And now we're talking about the machzer grushaso, the tsara and the machzer grushaso, we'll see in a minute. But tsara samahu, even without the word tuma, do we say that she is usher? Why else would you say she's usher? Why? We need to say she has the word tuma, because then she's like an erva, right? Tuma ksiv bakarayos. Why else would you say that somebody is usher, right? Only chayve krisis are usher, not chayve lavin. So why else would you say that there's no zika? So Gemara is going to explain. Why are you asking about the tsara of the machzer grushaso? What about the machzer grushaso herself? She's only chayv elavin. It doesn't say tuma by her. So as we referred to yesterday, the Mishnah says on the Chaf and Aleph that by chayv elavin you say that there is a zika and you have to do chalitza. Right, you don't say that there's no zika at all, like the first Mishnah. So you ask the Gemara, so what are you asking me about the tsara? What about the machzer grushaso herself? Says the Gemara, he gufa lo kabi ba'ili. No, she herself, I don't have a question about why. Tiyamina kal v'chomer, because I have a kal v'chomer. B'mutter la, asura, ba'asur la, lo kal shekain. If this woman, this machzer grushaso, was usher to her own husband, who she had married beheter to start, So to the Yavam, she's going to be mutter. She can't marry, she can never be mutter to somebody who the original husband was usher to. And since the original husband married her, this woman in sin, as a masa grushaso, so to the Yavam also. There's no way that he would be able to marry her, and therefore he would at most have to do chalitza. The Achronim quote a Rashi in Sota and Daf Vav and Daf Hey as one of the examples for the basis for this Kal V'Chomer. Why do you say this? What's the svara to say that just because she was usher to the husband, the first husband, she is now usher to the Yavam? One of the major sugyas in Mezachas Yavamis, which we're going to have a little bit also on Amun Aleph today, and that is, how much is the new brother his own person? How much conceptually is he stepping into the shoes of the marriage of his first older brother? We're going to have later on that the ksuba of this woman is the ksuba of the first brother. There are many nafkaminas between first brother, second brother. So one of the major issues in Lamdis is how much is he his own person, his own marriage, his own automatic from Shemayim, how much is he just filling the shoes of his brother? So Rashi there says, and they use that to explain this line, if he is only stepping into the shoes of his brother, he can't be better than his brother. If his brother was also to this woman, and he's filling the shoes of his brother, so then there's no way he can marry her. His brother wasn't allowed to marry her. So surely, he, who is only a substitute for his brother, also is not able to marry her. So that's a svara behind this. But mutu la asura, but asur lo la kol shekein, that is a svara for this part of the Kal V'Chomer. We said it Tosfos yesterday, yes. Tosfos referred to this a little bit on the top of Amud Aleph yesterday, but now the Gemara here says it beferish. And again, just to repeat, but Rav Shechter says it about this line, in that I think I alluded to this yesterday, in Eretz Tzvi on page Kuf Hei, where he says, what is, again, a little deeper about this line, what happens when a man marries a woman be'isser? When marries a woman be'isser, or a woman becomes usher to a man? By a usual marriage, nira, kamoshi ish b'chol ishas da'alma bezin yonim. By a usual marriage, when a man marries a woman, there are two things that kick in. There's an isser to everybody else, and there's a heter to him. Right before this marriage, this woman is not an ishas ish. She's a pnuya. A pnuya we're going to have later on in Daf Tev Zayin. We're going to have a pnuya. What's the isser of pani habala pnuya? An unmarried woman. Not so clear what the isser is. But when a woman becomes an ishas ish, she's also to everybody. But she becomes mutter to the husband. Every marriage has two aspects. But also, generally, a zika to Yibam has two aspects. It has an isser to everybody else. She's not allowed to, it's an isser Yavam alashuk. And also she has a heter to her eventual Yavam. But Rav Shechter explains, by a regular marriage, part of the marriage could be broken down partially. Or anytime there's an isser, so then the heter labayla is broken, even though the isser to everybody else still exists. She still needs a get by an ishish zinsa. But part of the marriage has broken down. So too by Yavam. It's possible that part of the marriage can be broken down. So that's the pshat of the Kal V'Chomer. If the original marriage has been partially broken, meaning there's no more heter labayla to that original marriage, there's only isser l'kule alma, so too the Yavam should be no better. And his zika that is created by the original marriage should be known better and only have the isser aspects and not have the heter aspects. So that's two ideas, some from Achronim based on that Rashi and Sota, and that point from Rav Shechter explaining this Kal V'Chomer. There's a little more on this, but let's just do a little further, and then we'll come back. Says the Gemara. So that's why we're not asking about Machzer Grushaso herself. If a man retakes his divorced wife and he dies, for sure that woman does not do Yibam. She has to do Chalitza. Ki kami baile sarasa. What about her co-wife, though? Mai. Mi olam Kal V'Chomer lebitki tsarolo. Is this Kal V'Chomer strong enough not only to aser the Machzer Grushaso herself, but also to Machzer the tsaris? Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Basdi Hachi. Rabbi Nachman bar Yitzchak has a little different version of the question. Rabbi Yochanan asked this question. He has the version of asking it about the Machzer Grushaso herself. Why are you only asking about the woman herself? What about her co-wife? The Gemara says, Sarasa l'kami b'ayli. No, the tsara, the co-wife, for sure I don't have a question about. Zulo olib Kal V'Chomer l'bitchi tsara. Because the Kal V'Chomer is for sure not strong enough. Elok, he coming by lay, he gufa. The question is only about she herself, my. Mi olam Kal V'Chomer, b'maka mitzvah olo. The tsara for sure doesn't work. Is that strong enough for that? But what about herself? Is the Kal V'Chomer strong enough or not? So we have two versions of the question, in a word. The first version of the question is, does a machzor grusha, the first version, does the tsara of a machzor grusha so herself, is she allowed to do yibam or not? Version two, is the machzor grusha so herself allowed to do yibam or not? That's the two questions, two versions of the question of the Gemara. And the Gemara brings the same two rayas as we brought yesterday. Because remember, yesterday on Amud Beis, we had the same exact question. The only difference was that yesterday we said, is it because it says the word tumah or not, as we started off today. Today it's a svara of a kal vachomer. But it's the same question, so we're going to have the same two tries to prove, and we're going to have the same two rejections of the proof. So let's go through this. Amar Lai, so says the Gemara, he answers him, Tadituah, didn't we learn it in a Mishnah already? Haisa achas ksherev achas psula, the Mishnah later on says, if two women fall to a man for yibam or chalitza, one of them is pasul, one of them is kasher, im haya cholis l'psula, im haya miyabim yamim l'ksheira, if he chooses to do chalitza, he should do chalitza to the pasul one. Yibum to the kosher one. My kshira, my psula. What is the words kshira and psula mean? Eli, makshira, kshira, alma, psula, alma. Is it that kshira means she's a woman who can marry a kohen, and a pasul means a psula cannot marry a kohen for some reason? Kiva dilidi de chazi mainafke lemina. But the husband in that case is a Yisrael. So what difference does it make if this woman has the potential to marry a kohen or not? If this man is a Yisrael, he should be able to do yibam or chalitza to whoever he wants to. So elalav, so it must be the fact that the Mishnah says this shouldn't be done. The fact that the Mishnah says that yibam should be done to the kosher woman and chalitza should be done to the pasul woman, that must mean tell us that kshera kshera lei, psula psula lei. That whatever case is being discussed in the Mishnah is that this specific man, the relationship to him is kosher or pasul. Umay niyu, who could that be? Machzor grushaso. So we suggest that the Mishnah is talking about a case of machzor grushaso, and this Mishnah says if a machzor grushaso falls to a man, so he should do chalitza to the machzor grushaso and yibam to the other wives. So doesn't that prove that to a tsara yibam can be done? So the Gemara answers, no proof, lo, as we said yesterday. Kshera la alma, psula la alma. Really, it's referring to what her status is to a kohen. You asked if to him he's a Yisrael, it shouldn't make a difference what status she has to a kohen. No, it does make a difference. Shem Rav Yosef, as we ended off yesterday's shir, the Amar of Yosef, as Rav Yosef says, Kadshana Rebbe, Lo Yishmach Adam Meboro Ba'achir B'Sricham Lahem. A Musar Haskel, somebody shouldn't spill out the water that he has, even if nobody else is going to drink it. If you have a water bottle, nobody else is going to drink. I don't need this. I know other people are thirsty, but who cares? I'm going to spill it out. No, that's the mashal for this man. There's one woman who already cannot, he decided to do chalitza. He's doing chalitza to one of these women. Let him at least do chalitza to the woman who already can't marry a kohen, rather than do it to the woman who can marry a kohen. Because chalitza passes a woman from marrying a kohen. That's the suggestion of the Gemara. But again, that Mishnah is not talking about machzor grushaso, so we have no proof. Again, same exact thing the Gemara said yesterday. Four more lines. Again, a repeat of yesterday. Tashma, hamachzor grushaso mishenisei sivit sarasa choletzes. Actually, is what we did this morning. Hamachzor grushaso mishenisei sivit sarasa choletzes. The price that says hamachzor grushaso, he and her tzara must do chalitza. Hivit sarasa zakadaitach. How can that price be taken literally? Two women never have to do chalitza, only one. Ela ema, ohi otzarasa. You're right. It means either or. So that, but what do you see? She or her tzara does chalitza. Doesn't that prove that a machzor grushaso and her tzara must do chalitza? The Gemara says, "V'lav tirizik abataratz tala." Didn't you already have to edit the brisa? So once you have to edit it, so edit it more. Taratzachi he chalitzes sarasa o chalitzes o misyabemes. She must do chalitza, her tzara either or. So we do have, though, at least from this last brisa, we have a proof about her herself. We had the shaila about herself or the tzara. So at least from the last brisa, we have a proof that she herself, the kal vachomer, is right. The kal vachomer is good enough to say that the machzor grushaso herself must do chalitza. The tzara is still an open question. The tzara we still don't have a proof to, but we at least have a proof to the machzor grushaso herself. Okay. So one question, and then we will move on. Rabbi Chana notes that as we referred to earlier, the Mishnah on Daf Chav says that Mida Oraisa, when you have Chayve Lavin, Ase Docha Losa Ase, When you have chayve krisos like our Mishnah, the yavama that falls to you is your daughter or your mother. So then there's no zika to yibum. That's what we've been speaking about. But if there's only chayve lavin, as we have been discussing, theoretically, if there's only chayve lavin, so we should say that there is a zika to yibum. We're going to learn later on that you do chalitza midravanan because, you know, even though there's the asay of yibum, which should be doche the losa asay of chayve lavin, still you don't say that for various reasons, which we'll get to later on. What we say the past day, there's a special pasuk by some cases. It says tuma by sarasota. It says tuma maybe by achzor grusha. So those are unique cases. But Esav Bochanan, what was this suggested by Machzor Grusha? There's a kal vachomer, a svara to say that Machzor Grusha shouldn't be able to do yibam. But what do you mean, Esav Bochanan? What makes Machzor Grusha so unique? Maybe you should say asi dochalosa say. If you have a pasuk like we had yesterday, then fine, a pasuk. If you have a pasuk that tells me that it says tuma, treat this woman like a rayos, then you can say that you're not going to do yibam. Or maybe there's not even any zika. But if it's based on a svara like a kal vachomer, but there's a svara the other way too. What you're telling me is svara why Machzor Grusha shouldn't be able to do yibam? I'll tell you a svara why she should be able to do yibam. The asay of yibam should be doche the losa asay of Machzor Grusha. What makes Machzor Grusha so unique that you wouldn't say asay doche losa asay? So the Kovos Ha'aretz, Rabbi Chanan has a chiddush. It says in Simin Dalet Os Yud, V'yesh lomar, d'bechayvi lavin eino iser al hayibum ela al habia. What's the aveira? By a chayvi lavin, let's say the woman who falls to the yavam is a mamzeres. So mamzeres, she was born out of a wedlock from an Eishes Ish. So you should say asay doche losa asay. What's the iser of a mamzeres? It says Rabbi Chanan, the bia. The bia is the iser. Therefore, the yibum is the mitzvah, and the yibum is the bia, and the mamzeres, the iser is the bia. Then you can say asay doche losa asay. That's why generally we would say that. Mishum haki shayach lemeimer asay doche losa asay. But this kal vachomer, what's the svara of the kal vachomer? What was the kal vachomer? If it was usher to her, to the brother, it should surely be usher to him, the yavam. So that's not talking about the bia, that's talking about the zika itself. Before you even get to the mitzvah of Yavam, that's the bia. Avol isur kal vachomer hu ala yibum mitzad atzmo. It's not on the later bia when you would say asay doche losa asay. It's on the original zika. Imkein leka mitzvah yibum klal. And therefore, it says Rabbi Chanan, that is why you wouldn't be able to say asay doche losa asay, and that's why the kal vachomer would win. Again, the question was, why should one svar be greater than the other svar? The answer is because asay doche losa asay is only when it's be'idna, the same exact time. But according to this explanation, the iser, the kal vachomer, the svar, to say the iser, is earlier than the mitzvah of yibum. Okay? Let us now continue. Amar Rav Lili Bar Mamo. See where we are? Yud Beis Amin Aleph. Number 3 out of 4. As I started off this year, there are 4 cases the Gemara is going to talk about. 4 co-wife cases the Gemara is going to discuss. Tzaras Sota was number 1. Tzaras Machzor Grushasa was number 2. Now we're going to have the last 2. And again, these were alluded to, way back on Daf Gimel Amar Beis. Amar in Daf Yomi, I guess it's not way back. Oh, just one other. I wanted to mention the story of the Granat. We mentioned the Granat yesterday, but there's a story I mentioned a few years ago, but can't not to mention it. So Benon also helped us yesterday. The Granat was the Rosh Yeshiva in Radin. The Chavetz Chaim was the Mashgiach. When the Granat was very sick towards the end of his life, so the Bachrim in the Yeshiva were going around trying to help out and figure out what they could do for the Granat. So they all went around, whether this is appropriate or not, that's not the topic of a separate shiur, but they went around donating time from their life for the Granat. I'll give a week of my life to the Granat. I'll give they all gave, you know, the Rosh Yeshivas. They wanted to be know their son, not just money and learning, they give some of their life. So they each know they're a week and a month and a few days. So they finally went to the Chavetz Chaim. They said, Rebbe, how much do you want to participate? So the Chavetz Chaim thinks for a few minutes and he says, put me down for 25 seconds. 25 seconds? That's what you're giving? Chavetz Chaim says, you know how much you can do in 25 seconds? 25 seconds? It's infinite! Chavetz Chaim's 25 seconds were infinitely, everybody else, we could give a week, a month. Chavetz Chaim gives 25 seconds. That's the story of the Granat. Okay, now let's continue. So number 3. Sorry?
It's really a story about the Chavetz Chaim
more than the Granat. That's true. Story about the Chavetz Chaim. Number 3. So now we're up to Tsaras Mimma Enes. Amr of Lili Bar Mamal, Amr Mar Ukva, Amr Shmuel, Tsaras Mimma Enes Asura. What is the Mema'enes? Let's remember. Mida Oraisa, a woman can get married in two ways. Either she accepts Kedushin on her own behalf, if she's a Gdola, or if she is a Ketana, her father could accept Kedushin on her behalf. But let's say she is a Ketana and her father died. So let's say, so is there any way for her to get married? Les badas. So the Chachamim came up with a way that she could get married. She could get married on a Drabanan level with her mother or brothers accepting Kiddushin on her behalf. But that marriage, that Drabanan marriage, is called Kiddushei Miyun. And that means if she ever wants out of that marriage, she could just walk out. She does not need a get. There's also, I just wanted to mention, these past few days, even if one doesn't, we don't remember every step of the Shakla Vitaria, we are getting tremendous Yesodos of Shas, which is one of the Gavlios of the Daf Yomi. We learn Mema Enes and Master Grushasa. I mean, these are Yesodos. These are mitzvahs. The mitzvahs in the Torah. So even if I don't remember, I think, what's the Kasha and the Raya? But still, we're getting Yesodos, so we have to remember that's also tremendously important. So Mema Enes means a woman who is a Ketana, she's married on a Drabanan level, she's allowed to walk out of the marriage, she does not need a get. What happens? Does she have a Ksuba? The Gemara talks about it later on. Who is the Ksuba? Again, I think the 13th Parak of Yevamos, that's all about, that's what's about, Parak Beishami is all about Miyan. What happens if a woman was married in this Drabanan way, and she did not do Miyan, and her husband died? And now she has a brother-in-law. Her husband died without children. So now she is going to do, she is set up to do Yibam or Chalitza to the, her brother-in-law. But before she does that, she does Miyun to the Yavam, to one of the brothers. Let's say there are five brothers. To one of the two brothers, she walks over and she says, I do Miyun. There's a special Nuslach that she says. She doesn't just walk out and not appear the next day. There's a Shtar Miyun. But that's what she does. So that woman, we will see, is usher to do Yibam or Chalitza to the other brothers. So what Shmuel now is being Mechadesh, Tsaras Mema'enes Asura. Not only that woman who does Miyun, but let's say the other brother had other co-wives, even on a Daraisa level. Still, Tsaras Mema'enes Asura, the co-wives are also usher to do Yibam to the brother. So Laman, who, the Gemara is going to clarify, who is the co-wives usher to? Ilei Mala'achim, are they, if they are, is the Gemara, is Shmuel trying to suggest that they are usher to the other brothers? Let's say there are five brothers and five wives. And this one wife, who was a Ketana, did Miyun to Ruvain. So are we suggesting that this, all the other wives are usher to the other brothers? That's not true. Hashtahi Gufasharya. This woman herself is mutter to marry the other brothers. The Amr Shmuel, Miyana Bazeh Mutaris Bazeh. She herself is mutter to marry the other brothers. Sarasami boy. So surely her co-wives are able to marry the other brothers. So it can't be talking about that. Ella Lididei. It must be that Shmuel is b'machadesh, that the co-wives are usher to do Yibam to him, to this man who this Ketana did Miyun to. In other words, not only is the Mema'enes herself usher to this man, but her co-wives are also usher to this man. Forgot to mention one important fact about Miyun, and that is when a woman does Miyun, Halacha looks at it as if it's Oker the marriage Lamafreya. It's not like a get where they're married up until today and boom, now they're not married anymore. But Miyun uproots the Kiddushin. It's as if they were never married. It's as if they were never married. That's what Miyun does. Again, it's uprooting. So Rashi explains, so we're going to meet that in a minute. So Rashi, the Gemara says here, so what is Shmuel's Chiddush? What have we just explained it to be? That the co-wives of the woman who did Miyun also are usher to the man who she did Miyun to. That's the Chiddush of Shmuel. Saras Mema'enes Asura. Says the Gemara. Umayshna Mema'enes Tashar Yala'achin. Dulo Abdu Umaysa. What's the svar for this? Why is the Mema'enes herself mutter to the other brothers who she didn't do Miyun to? Because she didn't do an act between them. Therefore, there was no psul created. So Tsaranami Lo Abdu Umaysa. Her Tsaros, her co-wives, also didn't do an act to this man. So what's the difference between the Mema'enes and the Tsaros? The Gemara answers, Gzeira Mishum Tsaras Bito Mema'enes. It's a Gzeira Mishum Tsaras Bito Mema'enes. What does that mean? It's a Dinder Rabbanan. Mida Oraisa, Rashi here explains. Mida Oraisa, when this woman goes over to her Yavam and does Miyun, as we just explained, it's as if she was never married to her brother. It was as if there was never anything. So she really should be able to be mutter to everybody. Because Miyun uproots everything from the past, she should be mutter to everybody. And yet, Rashi explains here, there's a gzeira derabanan. What's the gzeira derabanan? It looks like She was married to the brother. She never did mian in her brother in the first brother's lifetime, so it looks like they were married. Let's read Rashi. Look at Rashi at the fourth skinny line. Gzeira d'rabanan hi, hol v'lo mian abarishon. She did not do mian to the first brother. Umikoach nisuin nafla lehisyabim. And from a full marriage, there was a zika to Yibam. She never did mian before the marriage was over. Nir eis ke'eshes achiv. She appears like a brother's wife. And the Ritva here adds on, after quoting Rashi, that nobody will realize that the mian breaks everything l'mafreya. Everybody will think that she was married fully to the other brother, and now this mian broke it right now, and now she's going to marry this brother? How could that be? She just broke this marriage, and now she's going to marry him? That can't be. So because of that gzeira d'rabanan, that is why we say that we won't allow this yibum to take place to her. Yeah. Oh, so now we're going to say, but now the Gemara adds, so why are the tsaros? Why her the tsaros? That was why she was usher to the original, to this man she did mean to. So now the Gemara adds, why are even the tsaros? Because of the zera of tsaras bitum ma'enes. Let's say this woman was really the daughter of the man that she just fell to Yibam. Again, Reuven's daughter marries Reuven's brother in a Durabanan way. Then Reuven's brother dies, so now the daughter falls to her. So now that co-wife is more of a in the Daraisa world, because it's the Achos Bito. It's not just Miun. So because of that case, all the cases of Saros are us. Let's continue. But Saras Bito Mima'enes Miyasira, is the Saras Bito that does Miun Usser? The Tatanan, didn't we learn in our Mishnah that once Mian happens, as we said, everything disappears? What did we learn in our Mishnah on Daf Beis? Imesu o Mianu, the Bachi is in, Onis Garshu, Sarasi and Mutaros. Let's say a woman gets divorced. The Erva of the potential Yavam gets divorced before the marriage comes to an end. Let's put in names to make it clear. Reuven and Shimon are brothers. Reuven's daughter is married to Shimon. Reuven's daughter married to Shimon, right? The uncle married the niece. Reuven's daughter dies before Shimon does. So the whole halach of the Mishnah doesn't kick in. No, none of the co-wives are usher. Because at the moment that the Zika happens, there's no erva. The erva there already had died earlier. So too the Mishnah says, if Mina taken place. So what do you mean that Sarah's Bito was going, why is Sarah's Bito going to be usher? Mian took place. So we're saying Mutaros. So the Gemara says, Demian Nabaman, who is the Mishnah talking about that Mian was done to? Elema Demian Nababal, are we talking about Mian was done, as I just explained it, to the husband before the marriage took place? So fine, Hainu Grusha, maybe you don't want to say the Mishnah's talking about that, because that's the exact same thing as a Grusha. If a woman gets divorced before the husband dies, or does Mian? Either way, the marriage is finished before the husband died, so therefore, that's why there's no Zika to the brother. El Aviyavam. So it must be, if it's not talking about that case, what's the other case of Mian, where she does Mian to the brother, who happens to be her father, or other, whatever, any other relationship in that case. And what does the Mishnah say, Beferish? That there's no problem. There's no Isser. So the Gemara says, Lo, the Olam Babal really is talking about the doing Miyun to the husband before the husband had died. Vitshrei Gavni Gerishin. And really, there are two types of Gerishin. There's Gerishin Daraisa, and there's Gerishin Darabanan. But there's no proof from the Mishnah that if she does Miyun after her husband died, before she falls to her to the second brother, there's no proof whether there would be a Zika or not. Which, by the way, this line is very important in terms of the conceptual understanding of Miyun. It calls Miyun a Gerishin, Trey Gavni Gerishin. So again, we'll have to get back to that in the future. Again, there's a lot of lumdas here, but we don't have time to sit on it so much. Hopefully I'm at base. We have some more to say. Umay shnoki miyana babal da'akrinu linisuin kimiyana biyavam nami nisuin kamay ka'akra. So now the Gemara says, 1 minute, what did we just say? In the Mishnah, let's say this woman, in the case of the Mishnah, let's say Reuven's daughter marries Shimon. If she does miyan before her husband Shimon dies, then the whole marriage is finished. As we said, Mian is okay with the marriage of Mafreya. And therefore, when eventually your husband Shimon dies, all the other women are mutter. So if that's what Mian does, so why isn't that true even afterwards? If she does Mian to the Yavam. The Mishnah says, Mefarish, if she does Yavam to the Baal, before the Baal dies, the whole thing is uprooted of Mafreya. So too, ask the Gemara, let's say Shimon dies, and then she does Yavam to Reuven, her father. So why doesn't that also uproot it? Doesn't Mian uproot of Mafreya? Then again, there shouldn't be any difference between if she does Mian before the marriage or after the marriage. So the Gemara now is explaining it about the Tzaris. The Gemara originally said it about, we're going to say by Tzaris Bito, we asked on the Mishnah, so we're explaining it. Nechinami. It's expanding on what we just said. The Gemara answers, Mishum the Tani Arim Bar Yecheskel. The Tani Arim Bar Yecheskel, no. Miyana Baal Muteris La'aviv. Biyava Masur La'aviv. Rabbi Yecheskel says, yes, related to what we just said, if she does bien with her husband, meaning before the husband died, then she'll be mutter to her father, if her father is the potential yavam, because then the marriage is seen as if it's totally uprooted. But biyava masura la'aviv. But if she waits to do miyon until after her husband dies, and she does it to her father's brother, who happens to be her father, that's the example that we're talking about, asura la'aviv, so then the marriage is not looked at as if it's totally uprooted because of the Isra D'Rabbanan that we mentioned before. Alma Mishas Nefilo Niris Kekala. So, because the Isra D'Rabbanan, if she waits till do me and until after her husband dies, then it appears as if the Zika was complete. She was fully married to the brother. People don't realize that me and even uproots that. And because of that, it appears like that Zika is complete, so that's why we're going to Aser doing Yibum to the Yavam. Hachanami, Mishas Nefila Niris Kisores Bito. So too, we'll extend that Iser Drabanan to the co-wives as well. So that's what the Gemara says, it's all based on an Iser Drabanan. Again, Mida Oraisa, the whole marriage is finished, disappears, and therefore everybody should be mutter to everybody. But the problem is, it appears like this woman was married to the first husband, and now something was broken. Like the Ritva explains, she did miyun, so people realize that there's a problem between this woman and this man, but they realize that she was also married to the previous one. So that's why we're not going to allow them to do yibum because of this chash. Yeah. Oh, great question. That's what Rashi asks. Rashi says, we're talking about here, miyun, what's the word we're discussing here? Miyun to the father. What do you mean to the father? There is no miyun if the father's alive. Right, what's the case? Reuven and Shimon are brothers. Reuven's daughter marries Shimon in a miyun way. How is that possible? Reuven's alive. So Rashi explains there's something called Yisoma B'chaye Ha'av. And that is, let's say a woman gets married on a Daraisa level, a Ketana. Reuven accepts Kedushin for his Ketana daughter. And then she gets divorced. If she then gets divorced, she's what's called Yisoma B'chaye Ha'av. That means an orphan in the life of her father. Halachically, she is now out of the reshus of her father, and now Kedushin Miyun is possible. Even though, you're right, the father, is still alive. Okay, so that is all woman number three, Tzara number three that we were going to discuss. Tzara number four, Amar of Asi, last one. Tzaras Islanis Asura. An islandess is a woman, which we mentioned, is a woman who cannot have children, who has certain simanim that she cannot, she has brought, question exactly how old she is, but she is a woman who cannot have children. From the word ayil, ayil is a male, it's a male animal, so islandess. So what happens if a tsaras, a man is married to an islandess and other women, he dies, so now his wife, the islandess, and other women fall to the brother. Let's assume for now, the Gemara is going to discuss this, but let's assume for now that he knew that she was an islandess when they got married, and he said he was mochel, therefore he was allowed to marry her. Let's see, he had other wives to fulfill the mitzvah puravu. Women don't have the mitzvah puravu, only the man. So he had other wives, therefore there's no problem with marrying the islandess. So he knew, so that's why the marriage was complete and full. What about the problem though is that now he died without children, and this islandess is, and the other wives fall to the brother. So is there a Zika by an islandess? That's what the Gemara says right now. Tzaras islandess asura. The tzara of an islandess is asur to do yibum. Why shenamar? Because the pasuk says, what is the purpose of yibum v'haya habachor asher teled? The child that will be born to this eventual marriage will substitute for the brother that died. It's prala islandess, sheina yoledes. Says the Gemara, islandess is excluded from yibum, because islandess can't have children. So an islandess doesn't have a Zika. And just like the islandess doesn't have a Zika, as we said, co-wives are always thrown in with one woman who has a problem. Since the islandess has a problem, no yibum, so too the other wives do not have a Zika. Matzav Rav Sheshes, is this really true? We have a diak from a later Mishnah that might say otherwise. The Mishnah says later on, Shlosha Achim Nisuin Shalosh Nashim Nachrios. Here's the case. Reuven, Shimon, and Levi are married to three women, not related to each other. Nachriya is not related. No, no sisters. This case. Reuven, Shimon, and Levi married to three women. Umeis echad mehem. Reuven dies, so now Reuven's wife is going to Yibum to Shimon or Levi. Right? Reuven has two brothers. None of the wives are related. So Reuven's wife falls to Shimon or Levi. Va'asa basheni maimar. Shimon gets up and does maimar. First time we've had this in the Masechta. Maimar is that even though Mida Oraisa, how is Yibum fulfilled? Of the Yavam is Boel, lives with the Yavama. Mida Rabbanan Chazal came up with an institution called Maimar. Maimar is Kiddushin Mida Rabbanan. Just like by a real marriage, there's two stages, Kiddushin and Isuin. Kiddushin, you're Makadish, your wife, and then Isuin, then you can live with her. So too by Yibum, there's a rabbinic institution to parallel Kiddushin in a regular marriage. Maimar, Mem Aleph Mem Resh, Maimar, and then later on, after you, Maimar is a designation, you designate, I'm going to do Yibum to you, that's Maimar, and then after that, the actual Yibum, the actual Maisabiyah takes place. So, what happens here? Three brothers, Reuven dies, and then Shimon does Maimar to that woman. Right? Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, and they're married to, let's say, Leah. Leah is Reuven's original wife. So Leah falls to Shimon and Levi, and then Shimon does Maimar to Leah, right? About, he's going to do Yibum with her. But then, lo and behold, Shimon dies. Shimon dies before he gets to finish the job, to do Yibum. Umeis. So now what happens? So now you have Reuven's wife. Let's do it the other way. Shimon's wife, who now falls to Levi, the third brother. That's glatt. That's smooth. But Reuven's wife now has a problem. Because she is coming from Reuven, and she's also coming from Shimon to Levi. She's coming from two cousins, right? Reuven, because that's on a Daraisa level, but Midra Banan, she already is connected to Shimon. Says the Gemara, says the Mishnah later on, Harei Luchotus Lomas Yamos. In that case, the women have to do Chalitza, they don't do Yibam. Why? Shneemar, because the Pasuk says, again, this is an Asmachta, because Maimer is older Rabbanan. This is an Asmachta. Umeis Echad Mehem Yavama Yavo Aleha. If one of the brothers dies, the Yavama should live with that with him. Me sha'aleh zikas yavamecha v'lo zikas shnei yavamin. This yibam is only done if a woman falls to her brothers from one man, not from two men. And here's a case where she fell from two brothers. Reuven, the original husband, and Shimon, who did Maimer with her. So that's why she is excluded from yibam on a durabana level, and therefore we say to her to do chalitza. V'ktani Allah, and we have a statement about that Mishnah, which says, Amar of Yosef, Zuhi Tsaras Eishas Ach Me'av, She'isa Nefila Garam La. This is a special case of a woman whose falling to her brother is what causes her the problems itself. What do you mean? Reuven's wife was wonderful. Reuven dies, so now she's mutter to go to the brothers. Shimon does Maimer too. She's everything's fine and dandy. The second that her husband dies, all of a sudden she's also to marry the other brother. So this is a unique case, says Rav Yosef. This woman's problem started when she fell to Yibum. When she fell to Yibum to the third brother. Shalom atzina b'chalator kula kagonsos. You're right, it's the Rabbanan. We don't have this on a Daraisa level, it's a Rabbanan level. But that's Rav Yosef's statement. This woman is so unique that the falling to Yibum causes her the problems. So ask the Gemara, Zuhi lemute mai. What is that line? What is Rav Yosef excluding? This is the woman that has problems because if she fell to Yibum. Isn't that excluding my love Lamuti Tsaras Islandis to Sharia? Isn't that excluding the Tsaras of an Islandis? Because again, the Islandis and those women, they were fine and dandy married to the original husband, and now all of a sudden they're full to Yibum? Now they're Usser. So isn't Rav Yosef excluding that only that case of the Mishnah is Usser, but a Tsaras Islandis would be Mutter? Kasha on Rav Asi, you hold Tsaras Islandis as Usser? Answer the Gemara, no, there's no diyak from that Mishnah. Lo lemuti Tsaras Islandis d'asira. Tsaras Islandis can be Usser. Umay zuhi. So what is Rav Yosef excluding by making that exclamation? This woman and not any other woman. Zuhi d'isr nefila garam la tsarasa baye chalitza. He's excluding that in that case, in the Maimar case, she at least still needs to do chalitza, because that's all a rabbinic, it's all on the drabana level. Islandis. Our case that we're discussing, afilu chalitza lo baya. She doesn't even need chalitza, the tsaris islandess, because that's a daraisa recognition. My taima, ha daraisa ha darabanan. The fact that an islandess is excluded from Yibum and her co-wives, that's a daraisa issue. And that's why they won't even need chalitza. Unlike in the Maimar case, they would need chalitza. That's what Rav Yosef is excluding. Don't compare this case to the islandess case, because the islandess case is even stronger. Okay? Let's continue. Three more lines. Again, trying to bring a raya from our Mishnah. Doesn't our Mishnah weigh in on this issue of Tsaras Islandus? Tznan, our Mishnah says, the end of our Mishnah, Vakulon, Imesu, Amiyanon, Iskari, Shonish, Nimsu, Islandus, if these women in our Mishnah, these Arayos, either died, or were divorced, or did Miyun, or were found to be an Islandus before their husband died, Tsaros and Mutaros. What did it say? Their Tsaros are Mutar. So isn't our Mishnah against this statement of Ravasi? Ravasi says the islandists and the tsaros are all usser. Our Mishnah says that sounds like it's mutter. Answers the Gemara, lo kasha, kancha hikirba, kancha lo hikirba. Did the husband know that she was an islandist when they got married, the original husband? Our Mishnah is talking about a case where he knew. Where he didn't know. Where he didn't know. So if he didn't know, when he finds out, then the whole marriage is dissolved. It was a mechaktos. He didn't know that she was an islandist. So that's why Tsaros and Mutaros, because as if she was never, they were never married. As if he was never married to the islandist, that's why the co-wives are going to be mutter, because she was never, they were never married. Mashekim, what's Ravasi talking about here? Where Tsaros and Asuros, that's where he knew about it and he married her anyway. Then the marriage is full. The marriage is complete. And therefore, the Tsaros are going to be usher, just like the islandist is going to be usher to the Yavam. Dekanami, just do the one more line. How do you know that Mishnah's talking about a case where he only just found out and he didn't know originally? Diktani, because the Mishnah says Shinimsu. Veloktani Shahayu Shmamina. It says they were just found to be an islandist. Doesn't say she was always an islandist. Shmamina. Period. End of the discussion of these four women. Again, if you want to review, it's a pretty clear and structured Gemara. Sarasota, Saras, Master Grushaso, Saras. Mima Enes and Tsaros Islandus, the four cases.
How come they make a Xer of what if the Islandus is your daughter?
Right, what if they make a Xer if the Islandus is your daughter? I'm not sure. I'm not sure. But yeah.
We had earlier that our mission is against Rav by Sarasota and against Ravasi by Tsaros Islandus, because it says these 15 to
right, so,
two.
Right, so we interpreted that, but then we said our mission is against them, but then we said, what about according to them, what would our mission be excluding? So we interpreted the Mishnah even according to their shittos. Now we're about to say what the halacha is anyway. So we're not going to pass on like some of these. Right, not a minute, even right. Whenever it is, the marriage is right when he finds out it's a mekartos. The marriage is dissolved.
And then he dies,
or even less than 5 years later. But you know, this man was once married to an islandist. It does not affect the other wives because that other marriage is dissolved. No, she's out of the marriage. She's out of the marriage. That's what the Mishnah is telling you, that she's out of the marriage. Amarava, finishing up, what's the halacha in all these cases? Hilchasa, Tsaras, Islandus, Muteris. Viafilu Hirkaba. The co-wife of an islandist is Mutter, even if he had known about it. Even if he knew about it. And therefore the marriage is complete, still the Tsaras are Mutter. Viafilu Tsaras, Bito Islandus. Even if the islandist happens to be his daughter, still is going to be Mutter, there's no lima that the tsaros are going to be usher. The island is fine. She herself is mufka from Ibam, but not the tsaros. Doesn't say in the Mishnah Shinimsu, which sounds like only if he just found out about. Tani Shahayu, no, change the word. Change it to Shahayu and not Shinimsu. Kiyasa Ravin Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, what's the halacha? Achasaros Mema'enes, Vachasaros Islandis, Vachasaros Master Grushaso, Kulan Mutaros. They are all Mutter. They're all Mutter, and therefore it's against three of the Shitos that we just said, suggestions of the Gemara. Period. Okay, let's take a deep breath and get on to something a little bit different. Tani Rabibi Kameder of Nachman. Okay, we don't have time. We're going to talk more about this tomorrow, but let's at least do the Gemara. Famous Gemara. Shalosh Nashim Mishamshus B'moch. Three women are allowed to be Mishamish B'moch. What does that mean? There are three women who are allowed to use a form of birth control. It's dangerous for the following three women to get pregnant, and therefore they're allowed to be Mishamish B'moch. Some type of birth control, we'll have to talk about what it is. Is it something beforehand or afterwards? So let's see, what three women? And also related issue, medical science of the Gemara versus medical science of today. So that's also an issue that we hopefully will relate to a little. Ketana mu'uberes umeinika. Why are we bringing this in here? Because it's going to relate to the last lines of our Mishnah, which we didn't discuss yet. Ketana, a ketana, mu'uberes, a pregnant woman, umeinika, and a nursing woman. Why do they use a moch, a form of birth control? Ketana shema tisaber v'shema tamus. A ketana, because we are worried that if a ketana, a girl under 12, gets pregnant, she will die. So we don't want her to become pregnant. Mu'uberes, a pregnant woman. Shemetasa ubara sandal. Rashi explained this based on Chazal, that maybe the woman could become pregnant again even if she's already pregnant and that second baby could endanger the first baby. Again, obviously, it must be related to today's medical science. But again, that's called sandal, like a sandal. You push aside the other baby. That's what Rashi says. Kishi mi'uberes v'chozeres u'misaberes. Dochi ha'echad es chaveiro. So that we don't want a pregnant woman to become pregnant again. Me'nika shematigmo b'naviyamus. And a nursing woman, we don't want her to become pregnant because then she's going to lose her milk. And then the first baby is going to become in danger because she's not going to have any milk to give her first child. And the Gemara just clarifies, which ketana are we talking about here that is allowed to use this birth control? Only from age 11 to age 12. Before and after this, older and younger, less than 11, older than 12, no problem, says Rameyer. Why? Because Rameyer assumes less than 12, she's not going to become pregnant. It's impossible. Above 12 is not a danger, and therefore it's only from 11 to 12. No, any women, says the Chachamim, no, anybody could just be Meshamesh v'holeches. Not just can, must. Meshamesh b'moch is a heter to use the birth control. But Chachamim say, no, they don't use it. Umin ha-shamayim yirachamu. Hashem watches over the psoim, the simpletons, and therefore they don't have to take these precautions. The big kasha is they don't have to take precautions. If there's a chashash of a danger, the Ritva, all the Rishonim say, what's the sheet of the Chachamim? What's the sheet of the Chachamim? Isn't it? Of course, if there's a chashash of a danger, of course they have to take precautions. So there's a huge chiddush that's discussed in the Binyan Sion. Binyan Sion, Rebecca Bettlinger, the Rachman Air, and his shuv is in Kuflam is Zayin, and he says maybe here is different because the sakon is not befanecha. It's not right here. If she becomes pregnant, then maybe it's going to be dangerous. But right now, there's no danger right here in front of you. That is it's a long tshuva, but that's his suggestion, which all the other achronim argue on. They say, what? If there's a chashash of a danger, it's bikoch nefesh. Bikoch nefesh, if you might become bikoch nefesh, you're also allowed to be mechalal isurim. But that's the sheet of the Binyan Sion and the Achiezer and the Tshuva. And Simon Chavtala says, what is he talking about? How can you say this? Because it's not here? The Sharm said in Balacha suggests maybe it's specifically here. It doesn't mean in general, the Binyan Sion. But even the Binyan Sion says it in general. But maybe this Gemara is a specific issue in Yoledes. Because every case of Yoledes has some sakana to it. So maybe the Chachamim Shita here, about Sharm Psoim, is specifically Yoledes, which inherently is a dangerous process, a dangerous part of life. So maybe specifically there is this idea of Shomer Psoim Hashem. What exactly is the heter here? What is the iser of birth control, Hashchasha Zera? That we're going to get to the beginning of tomorrow. That's the Tosfos here. Many different, whether women are mitzuva on Hashchasha Zera Levatala. Please come on time, 6:10 tomorrow. But just one more minute, and that is, Poskim used this line of Shomer Psoim Hashem in various ways. There's a famous tshuva of Rav Moshe about smoking, where Rav Moshe, in two tshuvas, first in Yaradeya, in Bayes Memtes, one little paragraph, where he was asked in 1964, which you have to always know, you can never be medayik about these tshuvas to now, where there's much more evidence in terms of not just lung cancer, but many other sicknesses that are directly caused. So there he quotes, even though it's terrible, and I tell people they shouldn't do it, and it's sakana, but Rav Moshe says, based on the percentages of people who smoke versus people who die from smoking, he says, I can't answer it because of Shomer Psoim Hashem. And he quotes Shomer Psoim Hashem there, and therefore, there, even though it's a sakana, just like here is a sakana. Again, many, many other poskim do not agree. They say, especially nowadays, also you don't know what Rav Moshe would say today. We don't even know what Rav Moshe would say. Last year, I think there was a whole thing in one of the papers, a lot of the Rabbanim, that said it's usher to start. Again, that's one tshuva, and Rav Moshe reiterates this in Choshen Mishpat, in Beis Ayin Vav. It happens to be a tshuva written to my father. In Yesh Isser Be'ishin Sigarios, where my father begged him to usher it. And he writes again, he emphasizes that, you know, there are many, he compares it even, which is a big chiddush. He said there are many types of foods that are terrible for you, that people have a taiva for, and they eat it. All these greasy, dripping foods. It says, well, people get sick from it, and their arteries get clogged. You're going to tell people to asar it? What can I do? How can I Based on the percentages, I can't answer it. Avadai min haroi l'chol ish uveprat l'bnei Torah shlo la'ashem. This is a Baal HaNefesh Yachmir, right? The big joke. If it's not the Saras Adibras, we don't have to worry about it. Baal HaNefesh Yachmir, then we know we shouldn't do it. So this is a Baal HaNefesh Yachmir, right? This is one of them. So therefore, we have to make sure. Ramosha says, there's no Toelas, the Chashash Sakan, of course, we shouldn't be involved in it. But Ramosha uses this in these tshuvas about related to Sharem Psalm Hashem. But tomorrow, Hashem, we start off. Everybody's got to come on time because there's a lot to discuss about this issue of Misham Shos B'moch. Okay. Which one? Today's shiur was sponsored by the Rothstein family of Teaneck, New Jersey, Lerefuah Shleima, Sheindel Bas Breindel.